Dear friends in Jesus Christ, on this Sunday of the Holy Trinity, as we return to the book of James, we focus on some wonderful qualities of God, things we might not think a lot about but are so important. We also focus on God's work, not our work, but God's work to make us alive in Jesus Christ, and then what it means to be a first fruit, a living sacrifice. What does that all mean? How does that apply to our daily Christian lives? First of all, let's think about God as creator and gift giver. Notice in verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the lights. So we're talking here about God the Father, and how is he the Father of the lights? Well, what are the lights? Well, we're talking about the sun, the moon, and the stars, if you will. Those are the lights that God has created, that he has given to us so that we can see even now without the lights on, without our artificial lights on. Thinking about God the Father, let's think about his ability to be able to give. The Bible tells us, if we look at a variety of passages, it tells us that God the Father, along with the Son and the Holy Spirit, they are the Almighty God. If we want to think about breaking down the Trinity a little bit, it is God the Father who designed the universe, it is God the Son who spoke the universe into existence, and it is God the Holy Spirit who came and looked over all that was made. So they work together to do this. Astrophysicists, they are beyond my comprehension, but they are super intelligent, and the ones who believe the Word of God, and even the ones who don't believe the Word of God, have come to these conclusions. They estimate that there are about 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Just in the Milky Way galaxy alone, 100 billion stars. And then they also estimate, as they try to look out into the universe as far as they can see, they estimate that there are about 100 billion galaxies. So one galaxy is overwhelming, and yet there are 100 billion of them out there. And yet, that super awesome work of God, if you look in Genesis chapter 1, it is recorded with these few words. With all of that, the Bible simply says, "And God made the stars." So let us know that God, who is super powerful, can give gifts that are super wonderful. Let's have no doubt about that. Going on to the rest of verse 17, it says, talking about God the Father, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. There are things that change. Though the heavenly bodies change and move, and they do so in a super precise way, though they change and move, God and his word remain constant and sure. The Lord declared in Malachi chapter 3, "I, the Lord, do not change." That is good news for us. If he was changing all the time, we could not be certain of where he was coming from or what the future would be. But because he has told us the truth, because he does not change, that should give us confidence and peace. God's word tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." According to God's eternal divinity, he is unchangeable. So there is good news. God, who is almighty and does not change, is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Let us recognize such things and let us give him thanks. Going on to the second part, not only does God give us all that we need for our physical existence, for our temporal existence, but God is also the giver of eternal life. In verse 18, it says, "Of God's own will," in other words, by his determination. This idea of decision theology where people make a decision for God. It is utter foolishness when we put together all these different passages that say God is the one who did it, and in fact we were dead, so we could not do it. Here's another one. Of God's own will, by his determination, he brought us forth. Literally here in the Greek, it would be he gave us birth. And how did he do that? By the word of truth. In verse 15 of James chapter 1, you might recall from 3 or 4 weeks ago, there is a reference there to desire conceiving and then giving birth to sin and sin leading to death. So we have a chain of events in a negative way. Here we have the opposite. We have God taking action to give us spiritual birth, and along with being spiritually alive, we have eternal life right then and there. We have eternal life. So how does the Trinity tie in with this? It is the entire Trinity that has made us. It is the entire Trinity that saves us. How does that happen? Think about God the Father. He is ultimately our Savior, but God the Father is working by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is working through the Word of God, or the Word of Truth. And the Holy Spirit is doing such in order to take us, who are poor, miserable sinners, who are dead in our sin, to get a hold of us, to impart to us that gift of faith by which we trust alone in Jesus Christ as our Savior. I put a couple Bible passages here in the sermon. You can look at them on your own as it talks about how God is working by the Spirit through the Word to save us. Let's go on to the third part. Now we're following what God has done, and now we come to us, and we come to our response as first fruit creatures. So looking again at part of verse 18, it says, God gave us birth by the word of truth, we might say why, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So God, in making us alive in Christ, he did so not just in general, he did so for a definite purpose. He did so that we would be and function as first fruits creatures. So we have to get at what that means now. If we go back to Exodus chapter 22, we see what the Lord said to the people through Moses. He said to them, "You shall not delay to offer from the fullness of your harvest and from the outflow of your presses. The firstborn, or we could say the first fruits of your sons, you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep." So the first of the crops, the animals, and the sons are to be given to the Lord. In other words, they belong to the Lord. So what does it mean that we belong to the Lord? We pick up on that idea too in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 19 there. That might be a good one to take a look at as well. But it's a very important thing that we belong to the Lord. Again, I sense we live in a world today where, boy, we want to go to heaven, but we want to be our own people and do our own thing. We don't like this idea of belonging to anyone. But the Bible says, though, either we are slaves to sin or we are slaves to righteousness. There's nothing in between. There's no neutral part where we can be free. Either we are connected to God, so we seek to know and honor him more and more, or we are connected to the devil and we're on our way to eternal punishment. There is nothing in between. We can't have our cake and eat it too. God wants us to know that. But it's not a bad thing, though, to belong to the Lord. It's not a bad thing to desire with our very being to want to know and do his will. That's, in fact, a wonderful thing for us. So what does it mean that we belong to the Lord? It means that he is our head and we are his body. Isn't it a simple thing that our heads control everything that happens with our bodies? That is true for us spiritually when we are first fruits. So this idea of being living sacrifices is that the head, who is Jesus Christ, is controlling everything that goes on in our lives. It's a wonderful thing. That's what it means to be in Christ. So we say no to our sinful desires, and we say yes to God's will for our lives. If you take a look at the book of Romans, you'll see in chapters 1 through 11 that Paul is explaining to those living in Rome, he's explaining what their condition was and all that God has done to make them alive in Christ and what the implications are of being alive in Christ. Chapters 1 through 11. And then how does chapter 12 begin? Notice what it says. He writes, "I urge you, therefore." So when he says therefore, he's talking about chapters 1 through 11. So based on what I said here in chapters 1 through 11, "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." When I say those kinds of things, I'm saying them because the Bible says them. But I sense that it's not something that people necessarily want to hear, but it's the truth, though. So if we want some other form of Christianity, we need to just be honest and just say no to the Word of God and go make up our own religion. But if we want the truth, though, God is saying we were in a mess with sin. God loved us in an unbelievable way. We now belong to Him. He is our head. We are His body. And now we desire to say yes to His will for our lives. Think about it. We were dead in sin and on our way to a horrible eternity. God made us alive in Christ. So now it is right and fitting that we, His first fruits, would function as living sacrifices in our daily Christian lives. I want to go on to the questions we have in the worship folder now. Let's review a little bit here real quick. Number one, who is the source of every good and perfect gift? God the Father. Okay. Number two, how powerful is God? He is blank in power. Almighty. Very good. He is almighty in power. So there is nothing at all beyond what He can do. Well, think about it like this. Beyond what He can do to punish those who want to go their own way or to bless those who know His Son as Savior. It can go either way. Number three, as the earth rotates, so shadows change. Does God also change? He does not, and that is good news for us. Number four, sin gives birth unto death, but God gives us spiritual birth unto life eternal. What is the means through which God works? The blank of blank. Okay, the word of truth. So it's not by our own way of putting together things, but it's by the word of truth. And that's talking about the word of God. That's talking about the Holy Bible. And then finally, number five, the first fruits belong to the Lord. Crops, paychecks, etc. We as Christians are also first fruits, so we belong to the Lord. That means we live as holy sacrifices by saying blank to His will for our lives, by saying yes to His will for our lives. On the back of the worship folder, we have some new information we're hoping to add in there each week. If you look at the very back cover for a moment, it has a section there about one-third of the way down called Join Us in Growing Up in Christ. And you can take a look at it there. It's a little bit of a tough one this week, but it ties in, though, with the idea of first fruits. But if you look over in the third block, first fruits, the first of any crop or offspring of livestock consecrated, set apart for God's use. I want you to think about this idea of set apart for God's use. That's what God has done in our lives. So if I go up to the altar here for a moment, and I think about what we have on the altar, we have a lampstand, if you will. We have a candle. Now, would it be fitting for me to, I'm going to do something at home, my electricity isn't working, I'll just take this home and use it at home. It doesn't matter. God wants us to know that this has been set apart for a particular use. And that means it has been set apart for the purpose of remaining there on the altar and with the two candles reminding us of the two natures of Christ, reminding us of the body and blood of Christ, pointing to Jesus Christ being the light of the world. It has certain purposes, but it's not to be taken and used in some kind of an ordinary earthly way. God wants us to understand that we have been set apart. We are first fruits. We have been consecrated for a particular purpose, and that is to remember that Christ is our head, that we are his body, and we are to seek and follow his will for our lives. I conclude there at the end of the sermon. You can see it in your worship folder. Let us know that in Christ, we are completely saved. We are eternally blessed. Therefore, let us gladly be living sacrifices. And all God's people said, Amen.